It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
And we welcome you to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we're going to focus in on some of the survey results and discussions about how the city of Sonora should spend the extra sales tax revenue that will be coming from Measure Y. City recently held a workshop to review the results of a community survey, also had a town hall meeting recently. The mayor of Sonora, Mark Plummer, is joining us in studio today. Mayor Plummer, welcome back to Motherlode Views.
Thank you very much, BJ. I very much appreciate you inviting the city back to talk about some of the stuff that we think is an exciting project and has involved a great number of our community. We look forward to it putting us on a path to financial solvency in 20 and 40 years, and it's very important to us. So the opportunity to share with the community is something the city greatly appreciates.
So kind of the question about how did we get to this point, staying on a path of financial solvency? I know it's been some tough recent years and there were some concerns on the horizon. You know, how did the city kind of get to this point that has been so challenging recently?
That is a question that involves a lot of history, but the short version is that for the last 13 years, we have been quite effectively trying to save our way to solvency, to cut, and to make do with less, and to put off certain projects until we had better times. Well, we haven't been able to save our way into prosperity. And as costs keep rising for staff, for insurance, and everything associated with government, we found ourselves on the edge of a fiscal abyss where we were just worrying how we could manage the decline. I was reluctantly encouraged to look at other avenues, as was the rest of the council, and we came around to asking our Sonora for a 1% sales tax increase, with that being geared towards investment and not just the new baseline. I've explained this before, but if people haven't heard this, it's important to know where we were. So that passed, and that has completely changed our outlook and the potential future.
So it's the 1 cent sales tax increase. For anybody who's unfamiliar, you know, what are the other revenues? How do you get money for the city?
So sales tax from previous, general sales tax, we get a percentage of it. We also have Measure I that passed that is dedicated just to our public services, most especially police, but also fire and public works. And that was passed, I think, in the 2000s.
About 20
remember.
Years ago or
yes.
so, yeah.
So over time, it's been invaluable, but isn't enough. Then we have TOT, which has been raised as well, 2% to 12%. And that's the second biggest revenue for us. Encouraging people to come visit Sonora is absolutely vital. One of the reasons that we are interested in continuing our relationship with Visit Tuolumne County. They have been doing a good job at inviting people to come up and advertising what we have to offer. So third one, interestingly enough, is the third biggest item is cannabis. And it pains me to say that. I would love to see other business revenue be more important, but we're budgeting $600,000 for cannabis revenue. It's a little unsettling, but also absolutely helpful.
So we're going back to talking about there was a all-day city council meeting, kind of a workshop to talk about this extra revenue coming in, and then a town hall the next day about a week ago. So first off, the all-day workshop, what can you tell us about what played out there and what was discussed?
Okay, that was based on the public participation that we have invited from a great number of stakeholders. And so those stakeholders were the local community. We had over 500 responses to our survey. What I call the pillars of the community, I invited 25 different people from Sonora Area Foundation to the hospital to former council people to come and participate because they have a very important voice in the political alignment and investment in this community. Then we had staff and, of course, the council itself involved in these discussions. Friday, we had an all-day session where the results of the surveys, the various surveys, were all put together, and then the council started, how do I put it, just weighting, not, that sounds wrong in English, putting different weights on values, where we were going to start with one project or another and put this out in different timelines over the next 5 years. Okay. So for new staffing, we need new staffing. We absolutely have to hire an engineer or an engineering firm in order to start our road work. We've promised road work. We will be getting to it, but first we have to hire an engineer. And we also need more police. We are working on making it more attractive to work here. But the staffing issues are some of the first things that we're dealing with. If I can share, well, I will share two things. One, we had our core priorities that we came out with. And if I just read them off, they were the economic development. And that was going to involve the general plan more than anything. That's our biggest investment. Then fiscal stability, homelessness, infrastructure, and then public safety and disaster preparedness along with city staffing.
Got it. So that kind of list, was that from the 500 surveys, or was that the stakeholder or a mix?
That was the final result as the city put it together.
Okay.
And just trying to coalesce all the information and desires of everybody involved and come up with the top couple, that's more than a couple, but still, the top ones that we can imagine dealing with or are already dealing with.
So 500 results and people filling out that survey. I know I filled out the form as well, being a city resident. Were you surprised to get such a good turnout and response?
Not exactly. It was very heartwarming to get a good response.
Nice to see people care about their community.
But on Lineberg, we got more than that, and people really cared about that, apparently. So percentage-wise, it wasn't quite as good as the Lineberg survey that we had done earlier, but the more information we have and the more stakeholder buy-in for how we try and plan things, the better off the city will be. And we are trying to plan this so that it is long-term, 20, 30, 40 years. We want Sonora to be prosperous way into the future.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Sonora Mayor Mark Plummer on this weekend's Motherlode Views, talking about long-term planning, the incoming sales tax revenue, and things that the City Council is doing right now, looking about how that money should be best spent. It was the focus of a recent meeting that took place, an all-day meeting at City Hall amongst the City Council. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Talking about long-term planning in the city of Sonora on this weekend's Motherlode Views, following the passage of Measure Y, the one-cent sales tax increase, joined in the studio by Sonora Mayor Mark Plummer. There was recently a meeting where the council met to talk about strategic planning, also a town hall meeting that took place, and the city has been gathering input from residents, stakeholders, and staff as well about priorities. So Mayor Plummer, you mentioned that you have been getting, you know, feedback, over 500 surveys that were received from the community members. You also talked with stakeholders, talked with staff members. You know, with those three different groups, did you get kind of a different opinions and different results, or was all pretty much the same?
So there were differences, and that's one of the things that was most interesting. We got many of the same results, but in different orders of priority. So for the community, homelessness, road repair and maintenance, and more affordable housing were the top three. I should add the fourth one. The fourth was police staffing response and law enforcement. But those were the top community concerns, with homelessness leading the issue.
Okay.
The stakeholder interviews, the pillars of the communities, it was economic development, infrastructure, general plan, which is required for all building and growth, and the budget. The staff saw homelessness again as the top issue, crime, public safety and fires, substance abuse, and then increased staffing levels. So we collated that into what we believe is the best approach right now. We're at the point where we will be getting a draft report of the entire workshop and process coming back, I think it's the 18th of July. It was 18th or 19th. And then we will start going through the process of giving it budget numbers and assigning fiscal priorities along with our personal desires, beliefs, and everything that we bring to the table as council members.
So the community saying homelessness is kind of their biggest concern. You know, as mayor, and what's kind of your reaction to that, and kind of how the city has taken on homelessness to this point?
It's an understandable concern, and it's, along with our shabby roads, it is one of the most visible items that detracts from quality of life in Sonora in some respects. I believe that the city has been doing pretty well without violating people's civil rights and working within the law I'm trying to think of the right words, because I see the issue as the problem with the chronic homeless and the interface, like you speak of when you have fire interface area zones. Well, the interface between our business and our general public. And for that, we have been diminishing the number of visible homeless in the city, as I understand it. I mean, I'm seeing fewer. We have our favorite, the local bums, as they call themselves, who sit in the courthouse park. And most of them are actually quite pleasant. But when you only have a couple, it's local color. When you have dozens and hundreds trudging around, it becomes a drain on our society, and more importantly, our attractiveness to tourists, which are the main focus of our budget and revenue. Mm-hmm. So we are doing what we can, and we will continue to do more. Part of the process that we are engaging in is to increase staffing levels, I believe, for the HOST program. It's HOST, and that's an outreach program that our police department works on. And that's enough about homelessness. So it's something that's important. I'm far more interested in the economic development and where we can be going, a bright future, because if we are rich, if we have adequate funding for what the services we need to provide, we can do a lot. If we're poor, man, almost every door is foreclosed and you're struggling just to get by.
It's interesting. Community said homelessness, the stakeholder group that you put together said economic development and general plan. You know, how does economic development kind of play into things when you're looking ahead to the future and just because eventually this sales tax could, you know, sunset or go away, right?
I hope that that is something that future councils will bear in mind. If they don't, then the results might be ruinous. If we treat it as an investment, then I see a bright future. The updating the general plan so that we can be, so we have basically a sales tool to tell businesses looking for new opportunities, this, we have a place for you. This is what it looks like. And here's the data that you need in order to set up a new business. And if it meets your criteria, we're here, we're open for business. Something that the city is contemplating is looking at annexation. It's very difficult, it's slow, it will take work with our county partners and other people. It's not something where we just say, we want more territory, but it's something that when we have a new general plan, we will be contemplating, and we want to be more attractive to our current businesses, make life better in any way we can, draw in more tourists and more business to be attractive to new business. Part of that is going to be the infrastructure, which I think we're in the process right now of, we're looking for an engineer. The process for everything in governance is slow and cumbersome, and it's to protect the public funds from abuse, but it just slows everything down and makes it seem torturous. We are looking for an engineer. We will be having one soon, and as soon as we do, then we will start looking at we'll start categorizing our most important road projects.
Because you need an engineer in order to get those road projects. I'm sure a lot of people say, the sales tax measure passed. When are the roads going to be fixed?
They do, and it's frustrating as somebody who has worked in the woods one's entire life to look at the process and think, shoot, the people I work with would have cleared it out, bulldozed it, and had it done already, except that in the forest we have the same handicaps. If heck, we took Monday off because of an owl. Yeah, so it sometimes feels like life used to be a lot simpler. And I think that's what I'm actually hearkening back to, because in today's world, logging has changed as well. But to get back to the central point, it is slow, cumbersome, but it is starting, and we are going to be doing it. We still welcome public engagement. But I would like the public to know that your council is starting to work on the priorities that we both promised to cover with Measure Y funds and the other aspects that it will take in order to increase prosperity for Sonora.
You know, before we started recording, too, you mentioned something interesting, that there are some questions with a ballot measure potentially next year on the state ballot that could impact tax measures. What do you know about this so far?
Thank you for reminding me about that, BJ. The name of it is the Taxpayer Protection and Government Accountability Act, and it will be, normally it's intended to be on the November 24 election, and it would change for the last, I think it's 2 years, through 21, the requirement for any new sale, any new taxes, so that all new taxes would require a 66% buy-in by the public. That has its attractions in some respects, but if it is also used, and potentially it could be used to claw back what Measure Y is supposed to give us.
So it could go back that, retro to the measure that's already been approved by voters.
That is possible.
That's the understanding.
And I am hoping that it won't.
So don't overextend yourself at this early stage.
Being very cautious with general hires and the projects as we're looking at them. It's very easy to feel rich all of a sudden because we're going to have a fairly large, I think it's almost 40% increase to our budget, but we can't just spend it willy-nilly. So we are going to start fixing our buildings and doing the staff that it takes for public safety and for new growth. But I believe all of our buildings have leaking roofs in one place or another. The most concerning is the fire department. So we are going to start dealing with that and then trying to keep up with the local sheriffs for hiring policemen. The competitive wages make it very difficult for everybody in this county.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Mayor Mark Plummer on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking to Sonora Mayor Mark Plummer, talking a lot about long-term strategizing with the incoming tax revenue from Measure Y that the city of Sonora will be receiving. You know, Mayor Plummer, you know, talking about long-term planning and strategizing, I know we've talked about it on the show in the past, but Greenlee Road extension has been something that I know as mayor you have kind of talked about bringing back towards the conversation, and it's something that you have done, brought back towards a conversation piece. Is there anything new or happening right now when it comes to looking at that project?
A little bit. So it's one of those, like I said, everything takes way longer than one thinks it ought to. And this has been talked about for the last probably 35 years. Probably pretty close, and we have to thank Darren Grossi from TCTC for pushing that. It, especially now, is probably going to be extra useful in the sense of being another fire escape from the whole Cabazoot Basin and from Sonora if we need another way to get out of town. So he is continuing to push that, and it's looking quite optimistic. So I still probably won't be on the council, certainly not mayor, when they start moving dirt. But it's looking pretty good, and I would really like to see it done as a fire escape for Sonora. We need more entrances and exits, and it would also help downtown traffic a little bit.
You mentioned TCTC, which the city of Sonora is involved with, as well as Tuolumne County when it comes to road projects. Anything else as mayor when it comes to TCTC and efforts that you're keeping your eye on?
So I'm awful with the names, but there's a project that is going to be doing lane widening for the highway and improvement, fire safety, and a few other things from Chicken Ranch up to the ARCO station leaving the Sonora to the north. One of the exciting parts of that, and this is where public input has actually had a big effect, was that they are looking at putting the bike lanes and pedestrian lanes perhaps a little farther away while still on Caltrans right away, but not right by the moving traffic, and just trying to make it a little quieter and more peaceful. The city component of that is already, I believe, a project that is going to go ahead, and that is going from Stockton Road through Woods Park and having this bike path, pedestrian path that will finish, terminate up by the high school. Eventually, it will go all the way to Columbia College and maybe into Columbia itself. I certainly hope so. But it's a huge project and is going to take a long time. The Sonora portion of the pedestrian bike path is going to be started pretty soon in government terms. I'm not exactly sure when that would be.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of outdoor enthusiasts would enjoy that, going from Sonora to Columbia and back. Be a nice thing.
That would be really nice, and there's a belief that this will also make the rest of the city more attractive to tourists.
I can believe it. I see you walking downtown quite a bit. The downtown transit project, is that coming along well too? Uh-oh.
I'm afraid that your listeners can't see the red face and the shame on my face. It started late because of the rains. And will take, because it started later, it's going to go later. It is certainly not helping some of our downtown stores. We have tried to mitigate that as best possible. Unfortunately, there's just only so much that we can do as a city. I am hoping that it will be done pretty soon, but it is a handicap right now for people trying to turn into Sonora. Either way, you end up, because the turn lanes both north and south just go through one lane, it slows everything down, and we're just hoping it doesn't hit further snags. So,
and then you're looking ahead to upcoming council meetings, anything coming up on the horizon that people should take note of?
Good question. So on the 18th, I mentioned that we are going to have the draft report brought back to us by Cityscape, and we will be dealing with that. We would welcome the public. It's always easy to look in per Zoom, and those addresses are available on the city website. And people coming to the council chambers, of course, are always welcome, having more bodies. They don't have to be smiling, that's nicer, but having more bodies is always nicer. And it is really nice after COVID to get back to people being present in the council chambers. It just changes the whole feeling.
Mm-hmm. How's the experience of mayor been going for you?
I like it. I really appreciate the opportunity. I also appreciate having had 6 years prior to becoming mayor where I was learning more about the city. I would have been completely overwhelmed 6 years ago, but being able to guide what I am hoping will be a pivotal change in Sonora's infrastructure and business climate and future economically is a rare privilege that I really never anticipated when I moved into the county in 1987.
I'll have to end on that note. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. Mayor Plummer, thanks for coming back on Mother World Views.
Thank you so much for inviting me again, BJ. I hope very much that I communicated what Sonorans are interested in hearing about. And if it isn't, please come to our council meetings and ask your questions. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on and filling everybody in about what's happening in the city and these projects and this planning. We've been joined by Sonora Mayor Mark Plummer. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.